This is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to our moms. And this morning, the message, I hope and pray, will not only be an encouragement, maybe a challenge to our mothers, but pretty much any parent of any age, any grandparent as well. There are some biblical truths you can find in this passage and hopefully in this message this morning that will encourage you and challenge you concerning the responsibility that God has given to you to raise a child. If you have your Bibles, I want to be in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 this morning. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and we'll look at verse 9 for our text. It says here in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "There went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Take this child. This morning, that's what I want to talk to you about. Take this child. You know, that implies first some responsibility. Take this child and raise this child. And second, it implies accountability. How the child would be raised. Would there be a failure? Would there be success? Accountability is implied here. Raising a child is a great endeavor, filled with all sorts of interesting and exciting times. A whole bunch of exciting stories too, I'm sure. Some stories parents don't like to hear sometimes years later, but there are all sorts of stories from raising children. When it came to Moses, we find three things that we'll look at this morning. We find some concerns as far as Moses and his childhood. Then we also find some confidence in his parents, their confidence in God. And thirdly, we're going to look at the compensation, how they were rewarded for their faith. So let's look at this morning. Take this child. Notice the concerns. And I want to draw your attention to some of the problems that were in the world. And by the way, every generation has had problems. The problems in our generation are just our problems that we have to deal with. But every generation has had problems. And there were problems during this time as well. The first thought I'll give to you on the concerns is, let's consider some of the sin that was in the world. Now, we're not talking about all the personal sins that was in the world, but I want to point out something that was taking place. The Bible tells us that this was probably the most dangerous time for a Hebrew boy to be born into the world. And the reason for this, let's go back to Exodus chapter 1. And then notice in verse 22, it says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born,'" talking about the Hebrews, the Jews, "'ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.'" So, they were being killed due to the Pharaoh's murderous intentions. How many Hebrew boys were slain? I've often wondered. Only God knows how many Hebrew boys were slain because of Pharaoh. But here's a question for you. How many American babies have been slain? Only God knows. But he does know. Okay, he does know. He knows each and every one. This situation was bad for Egypt. It was bad. You think about this. There was a murderer on the throne. Someone who was merciless and savage. He didn't agree with a group of people, or he didn't like a group of people, so he was just going to get rid of them by having them killed. Folks, that's murder. Today we have murderers in Congress. We have murderers presiding over courtrooms. We have murderers working in doctors' offices and murderers in hospitals. I do believe abortion is murder. If there's life and you take it, that's murder. That's what the Bible teaches. And there's life there. There's enough evidence to prove that. Some actually commit the murder. Others simply condone it or justify it, but it's just as bad. It's a murderous intentions and murderous hearts. That's what they were dealing with. There was murder in their land for the Hebrew boys. Can you imagine having a child? Now, back then, they didn't have all the technology we have today. Some of you, recently, you've had children, you've been able to tell if it's going to be a boy or a girl before they're brought into the world, so to speak. Back then, they couldn't find that out until the child was actually born. Could you imagine having to wait, knowing that if it was a boy, people were going to be coming? I mean, the second that they found out it was a boy, it was a battle for life and death. Someone was coming to take that boy and to kill that boy. I couldn't imagine that. Well, when Moses' parents, the Bible tells us, when they discovered it was a boy, they didn't turn that boy over, as we'll see in a minute. They did their best to take care of that boy and to raise that child. You see, there was sin in the world. There was troubles and there was trials. But they were going to do their best to do what was right. Secondly, I want you to consider the state of God's people. Moses was being born into slavery, is what was happening. Now, thank God every day for the freedoms we have in this country. Oh, I know we have our problems. There's mistakes. No country's perfect, and we got problems. But when it comes down to it, we are free to worship here this morning and praise God for that freedom. Praise God we have the right to speak our peace and speak our mind. And let's pray we keep that. Not just for our generation, but for the future, for our children, that they have those freedoms. They can choose to be what they want to be. They can work and they can apply themselves. So praise God for the freedoms we have. Thank the Lord for those men and women that have died to not only gain our freedoms, but to preserve those. And those today that are protecting us. Thank God for those freedoms. Moses was born into servitude, into slavery. He didn't have that. That's what he was born into. There was a lot of suffering as far as the Hebrew people were concerned. So, here you have a boy being brought into the world in a situation that probably could not get much worse. Alright? Now, before I move on, let me point this out to you real quick. It's so easy today to blame our circumstances for our failures and our problems. This man was going to excel eventually. And he was brought into one of the worst conditions you could probably think of. Folks, it has nothing to do with our circumstances. Now, I'm not going to tell you that circumstances don't sometimes hinder us and hurt us and produce some problems. But I tell you what, when you walk with God, all things are possible. When you serve the living God, the most powerful God in the world, the only God in the world, you can do great things for God. And that's what we find here with Moses. So there were some concerns for his childhood. Now let's talk about the confidence now. Let's go to our passage here. We're in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And I'm going to go back a little bit. Verse 2. It says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." So here's what we have. We have a boy being brought into the world. His parents realizing the situation. You know what? They wouldn't turn him over to be killed. They hid him for 3 months. I think back to my boys being born. I don't know about your children, but mine cried, especially when they were young. They might not want me to talk about that now, but it's hard to keep little babies quiet, especially when they're hungry or they want something. Or sometimes you don't even know what they want. They're just going to cry and cry and cry. This was probably a difficult task during those 3 months to keep him quiet and keep neighbors from saying, "Hey, there's a child in there. Is that a boy or a girl? How come we haven't seen this little baby or this little infant?" Or the Egyptians coming by saying, "You know, is there a boy in there? Is there a girl? What's going on?" For 3 months, they tried to keep him hidden because they knew if it was discovered he was a boy, he was dead. That was the law in the land. Pharaoh had determined that they would be slain. A vicious law, terrible law. But that's what was happening. Now I think, first off, think of the determination of their love. In a sense, they were sacrificing themselves. We know, according to history, the Egyptian culture, often it was the mentality was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth mentality. In other words, if they would have been caught breaking the law, they probably would have suffered the same fate. In other words, his parents probably would have faced death had it been discovered what they were doing. That's love, folks. That's love. They loved Moses enough to risk their own life. So that way he could have a life, so he could live. And for 3 months, they did their best to protect him. And eventually, those 3 months, they couldn't hide him anymore. He was getting bigger, probably getting louder is what he's probably doing. Getting louder, getting bigger, his lungs were getting going. Maybe there were questions, maybe people were asking it, prying into the situation. Whatever the case may be, the Bible tells us that they could not keep him hid anymore. So they were going to have to depend upon the Lord. Let me give you a thought before we move on to this. I encourage you as parents to determine, make a decision that you're going to love your children. Now that may sound odd, but you know, love is a choice. Love is a choice. You don't have to love somebody if you don't want to. And some parents don't love their children. They have children, but they don't necessarily love them. Love your children. Pray for them. Act on their behalf. Do what you can to help them. Even if they're older, you can still love your children. They might not be home anymore, but you can still love them and help them if you're able to. So we find here that they loved Moses and they would help him. Secondly, they had to depend upon the Lord. Okay, we find in verse 3, they could no longer hide him. So what they chose to do was build a small little ark and put him out there in that river. And some would say, well, that's kind of crazy. Maybe, but it's probably better than turning him over to the authorities and having him lose his life. This, at least, they hoped he would somehow survive, that he would live, and that God would bless him. Today, for the most part, we don't, children don't leave home. I'm about ready to say 18, but nowadays it seems like it's getting older. They stay home longer, I don't know. But for the most part, it's 17, 18 years old, they begin to go out on their own. Now, Moses left home early. He's talking 3 months, and he's out on his own. He's going, and we find him going out, and they had to let him go. Now, here's some thoughts on their dependence upon the Lord. It was a fearful time, okay? But fear did not determine their decisions. And that's what I want to point out to you. These two people, these parents, lived by faith. They trusted God to provide and to protect. They may not have known how or when, but they believed He would. And so they lived by faith. And when they could no longer hide Moses, they basically put him in God's hands and waited for God to take care of him. Now, I think as parents, we can relate to this, even if it's not at 3 months. At some point, you got to let your children go. And you got to trust that God will take care of them. That God will provide. That God will protect. That what you did to your best of your abilities, and now you leave them with the Lord. Not that you don't help them anymore, or care for them, or pray for them, but you know now their decisions are solely their decisions. That the consequences they're going to face are their consequences now. They got to make these decisions. And you trust that they will do what's right. And that's what they did here. Even though Moses was younger, they did trust that God would take care of him. And their fears were replaced by their faith. They had faith in God. You know, when there's faith, I think fears will be overcome when there's faith. Fears will be overcome and faith will take over. Now, let me give you three thoughts here on faith and raising children, okay? Faith and raising children from this example. Here's number one. Faith is not inconsistent with using your means. What I mean by this is faith is not inconsistent with using what is available for you. You see, faith is not just sitting back saying, well, I hope it works out. For example, if you're looking for a job, I don't think it's wise just to sit on your couch and say, well, God will just send me I'll get a phone call and I'm going to get a job. No, I believe that faith would go out, interview, do the best they can, and then trust that God will open up doors. See, faith uses the means that are available. That's what his parents did. For 3 months, they did what they could to hide Moses. See, faith uses what's there and trusts that God has provided it and that God will bless through that situation. But number two on faith, faith will exhaust all of the means before it'll abandon effort. What I mean by that is, you'll notice his parents. They didn't send him out at 1 month or 2 months. They sent him out when they could no longer keep him. See, faith will do everything possible, trusting God, using all your means, your abilities, until you can no longer do it. That's why there are times I think if you can do something and God has given you the abilities to do it, do it. God expects us to work and to provide for our families and take care of things. Faith will trust God. He's given you those things and you'll do what you can while you have the abilities. And then here's the third thought. When all of your means are exhausted, that's when faith waits upon God. If you have done all that you could in a situation, you can't do anything else. That's when you leave it in God's hands and you trust that God will work. That's what these parents did. They tried to hide Moses as long as they could. It couldn't be done any longer. If he was caught in their house, he was dead. They might be dead as well. And then they put him out on that river and they trusted God to take care of him. See, that's what faith does. Faith will use all the means, and when all the means are exhausted, faith will just trust in God. And there are times you may have to do that, whether it's raising your children or just life in general. There may come a point in your life where you just got to say, it's in your hands, Lord. I can't do anything else. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to trust you with it, and I'm going to move on. You know, as parents, sometimes we have to do that too. I think this hits more when they hit 18, 19, 20, 21. They start going out into the world. You know, at some point you say, I can't do anything else anymore. You can pray. You can always pray. Never stop praying. But that's when you trust that God will protect him and God will provide for him. And that's what Moses' parents did. So we find that they were determined to love him. They were dependent upon the Lord. And as far as their confidence, here's a third one. They were directed by God's will. Okay, here's what I mean by this. The Lord was in control of this entire situation. Let me ask you a question this morning. Did God give you a choice of where you would be born or when you would be born? He didn't ask me. He didn't ask Moses either. You see, God brings us into this world or allows us to be born when He wants us to be brought in this world. You know what that tells us, parents? That God has given you your children because He wants you to have them. And that's what we find with Moses' parents. Oh, this was a difficult time, a fearful time. But God wanted Moses to be born. So Moses was permitted to be born at this time and in this location, and God would take care of Moses and his parents. You see, God had a plan for Moses. That's what it amounted to. God had a plan for this young man, and God had a plan for his family. And I do believe this morning that God has a plan for your children. May not be the same plan He had for Moses. May not be the same plan He has for the people sitting next to you. But He's got a plan. God has a plan for your children. And God has given them to you. Why has God given your children to you? Have you ever thought about that? Why has God allowed you to have children or your children? They're not given to you for your amusement, even though they can be amusing sometimes. They're not given to you to be your servants, although we teach them to serve. They're not given to be raised according to our selfish desires or even our personal wants. Okay? They're to be raised for God. God's given them to us. They're to be raised for His glory and for His pleasure, for His honor, so that He receives the glory and the honor from their lives. Here's a sobering thought I want to give to you this morning. All parents, grandparents too, I guess. A human soul has been committed to you to teach and to train. Isn't that amazing? A thought? That's a very serious endeavor. You know, I don't like to make mistakes in anything, but I don't want to make a mistake when it comes to a human soul. And as parents, that's our responsibility. So here's three thoughts for you on raising your children. First, pay attention to the health of their soul, not just the health of their body. I do think we should pay attention to the health of our bodies, obviously. Praise the Lord for doctors and nurses. And if there is a sickness or an illness, we can get them in and hopefully be treated and they can be out running around again, full of energy. But let's pay attention to the health of their soul as well. Make sure we're teaching them about God, getting them into a sound church where they can learn more about the Bible, and encouraging them to look to God. Let's also pay attention to the condition of their heart, not just their mind. Now, I promote education. I think if you can, I thank the Lord for our country, that we, for the most part, children are educated. And if you're able to go beyond high school years and earn a degree, and God's opened up those doors, then by all means, take it. But folks, the condition of the heart is more important than the condition of the mind. See, people can gain a knowledge of the world, and if they don't know God in their heart, then when they enter in eternity, all that is just useless. So let's make sure our children understand that. And we pay attention to their heart, not just their mind, and we're teaching them the things of God. And then number three, how about we educate them for eternity, and not just for their time here on earth? Once again, I think we should do our part to teach our children to be adults. And by the way, when you look at children, that's all they are. They're just little adults is what they are. They're little adults, and eventually they're going to be big adults. And we teach them. We want to teach them responsibility. We want to teach them how to act properly and how they can make a living in this world. But let's not neglect or forget that there's an eternity. And let's teach them the things about God, about heaven, about knowing God, so they can live for the Lord after this. And so let's make sure as parents we are preparing them basically for God. And let's not take this lightly, but let's do our best. Our very best. Because God has given us this child. As our title, take this child. God has given you this child. If you have more than one child, two or three or four, however many you have, God has given them to you. Take them and raise them. And here's another sobering thought. I won't go too far on this because I didn't plan on it, but someday we will give an account as parents how we raise our children, how we taught them, what we taught them. So let's take that seriously. Number three, let's look at the compensation here, the reward. Notice in verse 9 it says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." So that's that is what we would call the earthly compensation. You'll notice that Moses' mom was able to not only receive Moses back, but she got paid to raise her child. What a situation. Most moms, they don't get paid anything. You know, they have to raise their children, do the laundry and everything else, and they're just probably grateful for a thank you. Moses' mom got paid to raise Moses, and that was part of the double blessing that God gave unto her. He rewarded her faith is what he did, and he allowed her to take care of Moses. She did not ask for this, but God gave it. That's just how good God is. He just gives us things sometimes. But notice a few things as far as two thoughts on his compensation. First, she was able to put a foundation in his life. He eventually would live in the palace. Oh, he would be moved from slavery to high social rank. He would be a free man. But before he got there, she had the opportunity to teach him about God and about God's people. Later, that's what brought him back to serving God, was he understood God's people, he understood God, he recognized the problem, and that's what brought him back to serving God. Why is that? Because his mom taught him. She put a foundation there that he could know and he could have that knowledge. By the way, this morning, someone is going to teach your children. Okay? Someone will teach your children. It may be a teacher at school, and maybe their friend at school is going to teach them something. Parents, make sure you're teaching your children. Because someone's going to teach them. Make sure it's you who are teaching them. And we find Moses' mother gave him a good foundation and was able to teach him about God and the things of God. And these teachings remained with him forever. They were there. Let me give you a few illustrations I thought were interesting. The first one is, several years back, there was a farmer who had a large tree, and he called in a lumberjack to come remove it. It was in his way. He was getting ready to do some building, so this lumberjack came in, and they began to remove this large tree, and there he noticed, real faint, there was some markings in the bark. And he started to look and scratch at them a little bit, and he thought it said JL. He wasn't real sure. But they eventually brought the tree down, and they took this large trunk in, and they began to separate it into lengths. And so they began to do, but he remembered that was there. So as they began to separate it, he kind of kept an eye on it, and he watched it, and he noticed, you know, the trees have rings for each year they grow. He noticed that that mark went back 37 rings. And he found where it was initially put in, and where they got down to that section, they separated it. He discovered that it said JL, and it had an anchor, like a sailor's anchor sitting there. Well, it kind of piqued his curiosity, so he began to do some research in the area. And he found out that there was a family living in the area about 37 years previously. And there was a little boy in that family by the name of John Leland. And evidently, he carved his initials in that tree, and he put an anchor there. And after he asked around, he found out that little John Leland did grow up, and at the time, he was actually a sailor. And he was off somewhere else, but that mark remained in that tree. You know, here's my thought for you this morning as parents. Even though things may fade as children get older, there are going to be some things that stick. Okay? There'll be some things that you teach them, some things that you do, that will remain with them forever. Just like that mark. And that he was faded, but his initials were there from when he was a child, and people could pick it out. Well, there are going to be some things you teach your children that are going to stay there. Believe me, not everything's going to go one ear out the other. There are going to be some things they're going to remember. And there are some things that you're going to have an impact on their life with. So don't ever underestimate the influence you can have on your children. Even on the days they don't seem to listen at all. Remember, you can make an impact on their lives. And so continue being faithful. As far as Moses was concerned, let's just think of the fulfillment now. That was the foundation that was laid. But here's really the reward. Okay, here's the reward. The fulfillment of their hopes. You have a family here that's in servitude, in slavery. They knew the Old Testament teachings that God would at some point provide a deliverer for His people. That was given to Abraham before they went into Egypt. God said He would bring them out. They knew this. They didn't know how, but they knew this. They raised their son. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us this, and I don't want to speculate because I don't want to add to the Bible. We're not told if his parents lived to see this. We're not told how old they were when they went into eternity. We're not told they knew he would be the one that would come back. But he was. You know, sometimes we look at children and it's easy to forget that at some point they're going to do something. They're going to be something. And with our direction and with God, of course, who knows what they can do? Who knows what they can be? Let's not sell them short. By the way, I don't believe in bursting bubbles when it comes to youth. If a child's dreaming something, let them dream. Who knows? That may come true and they can do something great. Let's encourage them. If God has put that in their heart, if it's not illegal, of course, or bad, and God's put it there, let's encourage them. God may have put it there for a reason. And maybe we can help them with that. And who knows what they may be. You look at Moses here. First, he lived a good life. For 40 years, he was in the palace of Egypt. Got the best education, the best training, had all the things that the world could offer. 40 years he lived there. And then for the next 40 years, he lived out in the wilderness. Because he made a few mistakes and had to run away. But even then, God protected him out there. Like I said, I don't know if his parents were alive at this point or not. But then what happened? The next 40 years, he was the leader of Israel. The man who would write the first 5 books of the Bible, who would be given the law. And obviously one of the greatest men that would walk the earth, obviously outside of Jesus Christ. But a man of God. Not a perfect man, but a man who would walk with the Lord. And we find he lived a godly life. He had the power of God upon his life. You see, they didn't see all this necessarily. But by faith, they did what they were supposed to, and God took care of the rest. You may not see right now what your children are going to do. You may not know their future. You may not even live to see the final works that they do. But if you raise them after God, and you trust that God will take care of them, and you leave them with the Lord, Who knows what God will do with their lives? You know, in closing, let me give you, as far as take this child, just real quick, four thoughts, in closing, on raising children. First, hope for the best. Hope for the best. If you're living for God and you're raising your children after God, there's no reason why you should hope for anything else. Hope for the best, even in difficult times. And by the way, I think today is a difficult time to raise children. All right? There's a lot of sin in this world. And there's been sin in every generation, but I'll tell you right now, sin is being accepted, so the temptations are out there for children. It's being promoted, it's being encouraged, and so the temptations are great. Also, we're seeing a little bit more of a antagonistic attitude, I'll put it, towards Christianity. So there's going to be a little bit more pressure to live for Christ in the future, probably. It's a difficult time, but hope for the best. With God, all things are possible. Hope for the best. Number two, plan for the best. All right? Plan for the best. When you're raising your children, don't say, well, it's just going to be miserable. Why even try? No, plan for the best. They can do great things. They can serve the Lord. They can, who knows what God will take them and put them in positions of leadership or put them in places where they can be a blessing to many people. Plan for the best. Work for the best. Number three, work for the best. Be the best parent you can possibly be. All right? The best. And if you make mistakes, ask God to forgive you. And then just continue on being the best parent you can possibly be. And then fourth, wait for God to bless. Okay, do what you can, and that trust that God will take care of the rest.